Now I'd like to invite Dr. Abelardo Rodriguez from Mexico to talk about unknown orbital tumor.
Thank you.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Once again, I would like to thank Dr. Bournier and the committee of this spectacular meeting. Well, in second place, I'm going to share with all of you a very interesting case that I received many years ago in consultation. This is not a patient from my hospital, but I think it's a very, very didactic case. And another reason that I choose this case is because the only doctor who knows the diagnosis here is Dr. Bournier, because I showed him the case many years ago. I want to share the case with you. Well, this is the case history of the patient. Was a 19-month-old girl presented with a three-week history of progressive proptosis of the left eye. The infant was completely the product of a normal term pregnancy and delivery, no past history. And this is the physical examination when the patient arrived at the other hospital. Was a well-nourished and well-developed infant with total ophthalmoplegia of the left eye, marked left axial proptosis, left afferent pupillary defect, and no any palpable regional lymph nodes. The other eye was completely normal, and no other abnormalities were found on general examination. This is the clinical picture. It's not a good picture, but it's the only picture that I have. And as you can see, there is a marked asymmetry of the face because the patient developed an axial left orbital proptosis. And this is the only ultrasound I found on her chart. And as you can see, well, most of them is a retrobulbar mass, big size, and as you can see, the reflectivity was a little bit variable. Was an heterogeneous mass behind the globe. And in a CT scan, you can see this apparently well-circumscribed mass behind the eye with some type of scleral indentation. And in another level, you can see the heterogeneity of the density of this mass. In some areas, the mass was like solid appearance, and in other, like some cystic spaces. Before the radical treatment, the doctors of that institution made a frozen section diagnosis, and the diagnosis was undifferentiated malignant tumor. Then the patient underwent for excenteration of the left orbit. And this is the gross appearance of the specimen. As you can see, it's the external surface is irregular. You can see here a small piece of the optic nerve. And the color is not very important, for the diagnosis, but this is the cut surface. You can see behind the eye a big mass, yellowish white color, very irregular in shape, and like many nodules confluent between them. These are the microscopic findings. This is the same specimen. You can see all of these are the solid nests of the neoplasm. And with high power, you can see the neoplasm was very heterogeneous. In some areas, you can see some nests of epithelial, maybe are not well differentiated epithelial cells, and in other areas, some spaces like cystic spaces between them. This is another field of the same tumor, and you can see other structures mimicking some type of rosettes or tubules, perhaps, but the cells didn't show a lot of mitotic figures or anaplastic findings. This is another picture of the same tumor with medium power. And you can see the small blood vessels surrounded by this type of cells. And again, the cells are not too bad, at least from microscopic point of view, no? They are very similar in size, in shape. The nuclei of the cells are not bad. The cells don't show a prominent nucleoli, etc. And this is with high power, the same blood vessels surrounded by this type of epithelial cells. And with Mason's trichrome, we found another areas, very nice areas, that show some of the clues for the diagnosis for this tumor. You can see at this. Very good choice. And I can show you another picture. Look, you can see on your left side this typical structure that the name of this structure is Schiller-Duval body. And we can compare the Schiller-Duval body with a normal cellular glomerulus. They are very similar in shape. And this is another clue for the diagnosis. When we continue reviewing the slide, we found these hyaline structures with H&E. They are PAS positive, you can see. And if you add diastase, is resistant to this enzyme. And you can see the same globules, hyaline globules, intermingle with the rest of the epithelial neoplastic cells. We perform some immunohistochemical reactions, and you can see here the cytokeratin was strongly positive in the cytoplasm of the neoplastic cells. Most of the cells were positive. And another very important marker for this diagnosis was the alpha fetoprotein that was positive not in all the cells, but most of them were positive in the same place, in the cytoplasm of these cells. With all of those findings, our diagnosis was endodermal sinus tumor or yolk sac tumor of the orbit. For that reason, the clinicians did a systemic workup, and no other primary tumor was detected by imaging of brain, chest, and abdomen, predominantly the midline, because in the extragonal tumors of this type, most of them are in the midline of the body. The markers, the serum alpha fetoprotein level was elevated, 290 units per milliliter, when the normal level is 0 to 10. And other markers were completely negative. You can see here some of the X-rays, chest and abdomen, a CT scan, an abdominal CT scan, and retroperitoneal scan that rule out other primary tumor at this level. And the patient was referred to an oncology center in another hospital of my city, and that happens many times. You don't have a very good follow-up because most of the times the doctors of other institutions never write to us a line or an answer related with the patient, and we lose the patients. For that reason, we didn't know about the type of drugs for the chemotherapy for that patient. But the last information that we knew was that 6 weeks after excenteration, the patient had a local trauma, and with the imaging studies, the diagnosis was not a recurrence, most of them thought about organizing hematoma. And we found the CT, and I don't think it's a organizing hematoma. I think it's a recurrence of the same tumor. And you can see in the same orbit a huge mass, very heterogeneous density that I think is the same tumor 6 weeks later. Just some type of, just to remind a little bit about these neoplasms. This neoplasm is most common or frequent in sites like gonads, ovary, and testes. And this is the history of this entity. It started in 1939 with Schiller, and he called this tumor mesonephroma ovary. In 1952, Mostofi called the same entity as infantile embryonal carcinoma. Taylor, in 1959, was the first who called this tumor endodermal sinus tumor, and in 1970, Pierce denominated this tumor as yolk sac tumor. Other extragonal location of this tumor published in literature are the CNS, mediastinum, retroperitoneum, liver, stomach, pelvis, bladder, prostate, cervix, vagina, middle ear, parotid gland, maxillar sinus, and of course orbit as our case. This is just a very nice scheme that represents the origin of this type of cells is from the yolk sac during the embryonary life. And some of the hypotheses that why the endodermal sinus tumor is present in other sites other than gonads. And this is some type of the explanation. Maybe some of them arise from ectopic extraembryonic germ cells, aberrant immigration. The mean age at the time of diagnosis is 19 months, with a range from 3 months to 4 years. And the most frequent clinical presentation is unilateral proptosis, restricted ocular motility, loss of vision, and papilledema and congested retinal vessels. Microscopically, these are the most important features for the diagnosis. The diagnosis is morphological. You can perform immunohistochemistry just to confirm your diagnosis, but you need to review every single area of the slide, because maybe the Schiller-Duval bodies are not present in the whole specimen. The epithelial and mesenchymal elements, most of them arranged in an organoid fashion. Microcystic, glandular, alveolar, and papillary formations. Perivascular Schiller-Duval's body, maybe is the most important clues for the diagnosis. And the presence of high-aligned intracytoplasmic and extracytoplasmic round inclusion, PAS positive, diastase resistant. These are the markers, and as you can see, pancytokeratin is present in 100% of the cases, but the other one, alpha-fetoprotein, is more specific, but is present just in a little bit more than half of the cases. The management of this tumor is with many schemes of treatment, that chemotherapy and or radiotherapy and or surgery, as our case. But the serum levels of alpha-fetoprotein is a diagnosis and therapeutic markers that you need to ask for it before and after the treatment. And talking about prognosis, this type of extragonal tumor has better prognosis than other extragonal yolk sac tumors. Thank you very much.
Any questions or comments?
The only comment is, so to me, she's challenging this diagnosis for the larger 3 seconds and to Alex 5 seconds. Alex, feel the next time a little bit faster. It's amazing that you could see that and make a diagnosis, because he didn't know the case. This is a extremely rare tumor. Did you talk to each other yesterday night?